Hi, this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. Hope everyone's having an excellent start of the week right now. A little bit of an impromptu show, but very excited to be talking East Carolina Pirate football. And before we dive into just who our guests are here on Crew 22, as Mike Houston and staff continue to build this recruiting class in the East Carolina roster for 2022, I'm very excited to be joined by Kyle Barber and guest co-host Jason Tindall. Gentlemen, how are you?
What's going on, Bubba? Always good to talk football, even as we get ready for conference tournament and baseball. Football recruiting with the transfer portal and junior college, it never seems to end now. So a couple of commitments today. Fun to talk to them.
Yeah, no doubt. With the scheme the Pirates run defensively, and then you had obviously Jaquan McMillan, who signed as a free agent with the Broncos, and then Nolan Johnson opted to enter the transfer portal and ended up at Miami of Ohio. You knew this was going to be one of the needs on the recruiting trail, and Coach Houston and staff have continued to recruit the JUCO ranks, and right now very excited to have joined us from the state of South Carolina by way of Northeastern Oklahoma A&M Junior College. Appreciate your time, Brandon Higgs.
Yes, sir.
So, Brandon, before we, talk about why you chose East Carolina, just tell us a little about yourself. Like I mentioned, you're from Simpsonville, South Carolina. I believe that's the greater Greenville area. And, talk about your high school career and how you wound up at Northeastern Oklahoma A&M.
I originally lived in Georgia. Grew up there. And moved to South Carolina my ninth grade year because my dad was in the Navy. And so he retired here, and I went to school here from the 10th grade to the 12th. And I performed at a high level and had Division I offers, but my grades didn't qualify. So, I chose the JUCO route. And now the JUCO, out of high school, I hit up a lot of JUCOs around the world, and I only had two JUCO offers. I had more D1 offers than I did JUCO. Then it was Coffeyville and NEO. And so that week, I found qualified because I was in Western Kentucky. I flew up to NEO, met Coach Cressup. He told me what it is and what it ain't, how to get the job done to get back to where I am today. And I'll commit to them since it's been written. So.
Brandon, I got a question for you. First of all, welcome to Pirate Nation. We're so excited to have you. Anytime we can get a 6'1", 190-pound plus defensive back who can run like you can, we're excited. So especially the way Coach Harrell aligns and schemes the defense. But did you ever run across Burns High School when Rajay was playing?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. So if you made some tackles in that game, we've got ourselves a gem here, and you as a defensive back. He's a tough customer, so we're excited to have you guys join forces finally together from that that Duncan, Spartanburg, Dorman, and all the schools around there. That's really good high school football. So I know you're used to the big time lights and everything. So glad to have you.
Yes, sir.
Now, Brandon, if you would, talk about your time there at Northeastern Oklahoma A&M and your recruitment to East Carolina. Obviously, Trip Weaver, I believe, was handling your recruitment, and you took your official visit to East Carolina over this last weekend. And so just talk about the relationship you built with Coach Weaver and then also defensive coordinator Blake Carroll, who's obviously done a tremendous job of executing a turnaround with this East Carolina defensive unit.
So my time at NEO, it was long. I did 2 years. I did two full years. And towards the end of this year, I had non-Division I offers, and one of them being ECU. And I met Coach Weaver. And from the day I met him, he was just full of energy. And he just told me, like I said in my the interview I had earlier in 24/7. He was real. He was raw. He was telling me that we was going to work. We was going to win. We was going to compete at a high level. And, you know, that's what it's all about, winning games and competing at a high level to be on the big stage one day. And so from that point on, I knew that Coach Weaver was what he was about because, I mean, I did research. He wins. He sends guys, you know, to the league and get them out. So, and he just did a real well job in recruiting me. He didn't have to do too much, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't have to show me the flashy campuses and the facilities. And it was really just his words that really moved me in a certain way. So I very much appreciated that.
Brandon, you mentioned having other Division I offers this year coming out of junior college. I read Texas State was on you pretty hard. Who else was recruiting you?
Texas State, Incarnate Word, South Alabama, Stephen F. Austin, Purview, Jacksonville State. And there was some other schools actually in the region of East Carolina that was talking to me, but never threw me an offer. And that was Tulsa. So it was a couple of schools that actually offered me. I can't remember them all, but I knew when I got East Carolina and I had Texas State early on, and y'all was locked onto them too for sure.
You mentioned Jacksonville State. I just wanted to comment on that briefly. Ask Rich Rodriguez there now as head coach. What was your contact like with Coach Rodriguez? Glad to see him back in Division I college football.
It was good. He's a cool guy. Talked to him for a little bit. But I really was in contact with Coach Sigler there. And it wasn't too much contact with them. You know, it was only one coach recruit me from the Coach Sigler. Man, some great guys, and I respect them a lot. But other than that, I really wasn't in contact with the head coach.
Okay. One of the things you always hear about Brandon with this East Carolina secondary, you know, under the guidance and obviously Coach Harrell, but then Trip Weaver and Steve Ellis, the shark mentality. So you know, talk about what they discussed with you as far as that shark mentality, because we've seen significantly improved play out of the secondary here the last couple years.
Sir, so the shark mentality, man, it's all about, as you know, man, hunting. We see blood, go get it. So we're going to play hard. We're going to get turnovers. We're going to compete. We're going to be the highest ranked team, the highest ranked secondary to have the most turnovers. And it's all about what we do in practice and in the weight room and classroom. We're going to hunt and we're going to have to chase them turnovers. So for me, I felt like it was a great fit because, as you can see, you watch the film, I'm coming. So I got the speed. Physicality, so I'm hunting. I'm on the hunt always, and I just needed that pack to join, and I felt like East Carolina was that secondary, that crew I could join and tag along with and do something great with them.
So I feel like one of the battles in preseason is going to be between Coach Ellis and Coach Weaver to figure out which one gets to put you on their side, whether you're a deep pass safety player who comes down in the box or you play corner. Yes, so, I like to see which one wins. You know, looking at your skill set, and you know, you're still relatively young and getting in the weight room and the weight strength and conditioning program with Big John. There's no telling, you know, what your body turns into, and if you keep that agility, you can really become a force player downhill from the secondary. So I'm excited to have you on board. It's good that we finally starting to put some. I don't know, Bubba and Kyle, you guys can remember going to so many games over the last 7 or 8 years where, you know, our DBs look like kids compared to other teams' DBs. It's always a mismatch. So now we've got a bunch of guys with length that can run. And when you said you're physical, you made this old coach happy to hear that, because when you say a DB likes to come up hit, that's awesome.
Yes, sir.
You know, if you would, Brandon.
Go ahead, Bubba.
If you would, you know, tell us about your speed, vertical, and those measurables that you always hear.
So with my speed, I'm very fast downhill. I can react off the ball quick. I learn how to read defenses real well. I do my research. I watch film. I'm a student of the game. My vertical. The last time I jumped the vertical, I jumped a 40, and that was at South Carolina Gamecocks. I was at a camp. I jumped so high, the guys thought I was cheating. They made me jump like 3 times and reset the jump bar. I jumped it 3 times, and I even jumped even higher. So I can jump very high. I'm gonna go get it. So, and at the end of the day, like I said, my speed, I haven't tested my speed since 11th grade, but you know, we'll get East Carolina to figure that out. But my speed is speaks for itself. I'm not really too much doubting it. Cause like I said, I'm hunting. So I see the ball, I'm going to get it full speed.
If you would, you know, talk about Pirate Nation, and that's one of the things that you hear all the time from our coaching staff, you know, really from all sports, you know, in those quote big three, you know, the difference that Pirate Nation makes. And once you get there and you see the game day atmosphere, you're obviously from the upstate of South Carolina. Pirates played South Carolina in Greenville a year ago, really should have won that football game, and a lot of folks' opinions unfortunately came up a little bit shy, but still a very solid year for the Pirates. So, and you know, our fan base in the not too distant past, you know, we were averaging the mid to upper 40,000, putting 50,000 in on some occasions. So talk about your impressions of Pirate Nation.
So I got to campus on like my visit, and East Carolina was playing Houston in baseball, and just being around the players, just hanging with them. I seen how the fans treated the football players and showed love to them unconditionally. We was walking from the game, fans over there on FaceTime with their families, talking to the players, telling them what they're going to do this season and how we're going to be. It just showing love to the players. Players were telling me how they show love to them, and the atmosphere itself on the social media platform, I just see the love that I'm getting from the fans, and I'm excited, and I already know how y'all, they are ride or die for y'all, and I'm excited to be a part of a family like that.
So Brandon, two questions for you. The first one was, who is your recruiting host for ECU? And the second would be, did Big John already give you some things to work on? I don't know when you're going to report, maybe in June. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. So did Big John already give you kind of an idea of, hey, start prepping yourself for this, for summer conditioning and weight training?
Sir, he definitely – my recruiting host, you talk about player-wise?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was Ty.
Ty Moss?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's awesome. So Ty Moss's dad, we grew up together in the same hometown. So, yeah, Ty's a great guy.
Great guy, man. Mm-hmm. Love being around him. It was like I knew him already, just chilling with him. Big John, he already gave me a rundown of how he is and who he worked with. I on the wall, actually, in his office, he got a list of NFL players that he worked with all through college on his years. It's like 70-plus of how he prepared them and prepared them to be on the stage that they on now, and that's the NFL. And, you know, I'm ready. He was showing me, basically giving me the rundown, like, we're going to work. You know, that's what it's all about, and he going to be on me, put, like, 10 pounds on me, 10 plus pounds on me. Being in a person, he gonna help me from a person in the player level. And just speaking to him, like I said, his words of wisdom, he taught me as a player and a person when I went on my visit. So I'm just ready to work.
Brandon, what was your knowledge or expectations of East Carolina prior to your visit? You said you grew up. Guys, am I still here? I just got a phone call. Did I
get I got you, Kyle.
Okay. You said you grew up in Georgia. Obviously, you were in South Carolina in recent years where you played your high school ball. So how familiar were you with East Carolina?
I actually wasn't familiar with East Carolina, but it definitely lit up to all the hype I was hearing about it from a fan point of view, from a player point of view. It definitely lit up to the hype to where –
That's something, you know, guys, as well as I do, we hear that all the time from this coaching staff, previous coaching staffs. It's just, you know, once you get a guy to campus, they're just blown away, and they realize what East Carolina has to offer.
Yes, sir. Very much blown away, man. But like I said, knowing Rajay from back in high school, I did my research. I hit him up, and, you know, asked him, and it lived up to all the hype it was about. So it wasn't too much a surprise, but it had even more, like, excitement to it, like just seeing it in person and just being there.
So
you bringing up Rajay here. Sorry, go ahead, Jason.
No, I was just going to say, Brandon, and I'm just going to be real with you for a moment here. Is Kyle and Bubba and myself, we're diehard ECU fans, and there was a day when ECU was feared by just about everybody on the schedule. And Coach Houston is reestablishing that culture. And you're coming at the right time. You're going to be a part of some, you know, really fun Saturdays, not only in Dowdy-Ficklin, but when we travel on the road. Because, you know, for years, we wanted to get a road win. And they started turning that corner last year with Memphis and Navy and some of the big wins.
Marshall.
Yep. Absolutely. So, you should be excited where you're going. You're going to be supported and pulled for, and you're going to be a part of something really special here. So, get ready.
Yes.
Pirate Nation is going to light it up, and you're going to be a big part of that.
Yes, sir.
Did they tell you what to expect with that NC State game? NC State and East Carolina are huge rivals. Go ahead.
Yeah. They already told me that it's almost, I think it's a sold out game already. Almost a sold out.
It will be.
Gonna be a big thing, man, and coming from little NEO, where I come from, and it's gonna be a big difference. But I expect the performance the level I've already been performing as. Don't expect nothing less. So, like you said, I'm ready. I'm ready to have y'all back, just like y'all gonna have mine. And so,
hey, my last question for you is this: before we get a run, if you had to decide right now, would you rather be a safety or a corner?
I'd rather be a safety.
All right, Coach Weaver, be happy.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to talk Coach Ellis off the ledge.
Appreciate Mark Callaway chiming in, as always, on Facebook. Says, welcome aboard, Brandon. He was saying that way back that he and his family were members of the Fountain Inn and Simpsonville Golf Club back in the 60s. But appreciate you, as always, Mark. But you bring up Rajay Harris. Obviously, Rajay has been in the program for a couple years now. So tell us in Pirate Nation, what Rajay, as well as other players you may have had a chance to interact with, kind of an unusual time that you were visiting right here, between the end of the spring semester and right here early on, I guess, maybe in the first session of summer school. But if you would just talk about that and what they said about the culture that Coach Houston and staff have implemented.
He said this is something special over there. And quote and word for word, I remember this, Roger was saying that we're going to turn heads, man. It's going to be something special real soon. So I'm just glad that we're a part to bring the 864 to ECU and bring that competitive culture. Like I said, me and Roger went against each other in high school, very much respect for each other. We know we was good players back in high school, great players back in high school. And we held each other to a high standard when we played each other. And so that was one of the first people I had actually text or called and let them know, like, hey, I'm coming. And he was excited about it because he know the culture that we bring. And so, yes, sir.
Brandon, you, as we wrap this up, coming from Simpsonville, South Carolina, not too far away from home, a lot closer than Oklahoma. So your family, mom, dad, et cetera, should be able to come up and watch you play ball games. That's going to be exciting for you.
Yes, sir. It is. A major difference. Being up there in Oklahoma, I had to travel up and down the roads. It was a real humbling journey, my parents not being able to come watch me play. But now, I'm getting a chance to have them come down the road and come watch me play a couple of games, win games, and do something special at ECU.
Absolutely.
And Brandon, final thing for you as we wrap this up, if you would, just tell us, some of your interests away from the football field. Do you have any idea what you're going to major in at East Carolina? And then, what are some of your interests outside of football, be it video games, music, et cetera?
Outside of football, I like playing. I like being outside, really. I like being in nature. I like going fishing. I like really being productive with my time. I don't really too much play the game no more. That was back in the, I think it was JUCO that made me be more productive in things that I do. So I like to go outside, be productive, have friends, go hang out, go do something that I get my body active more than just sit down. But I like watching TV too. So,
what kind of fishing do you like to do? You said you like to fish. Yeah,
I do any type of fishing. The most recent fishing I did was crappie fishing. So,
okay,
yes, sir.
A lot of good fish in Eastern North Carolina. You can you know, the beach is right down the road. So you can go pier fishing. Plenty of good fishing around here.
Most definitely.
Well, Brandon, we really appreciate you coming on just a moment's notice. Really excited that you're going to be part of this East Carolina football program and a lot of success here in the coming years. And a good thing about it, as well as the other two junior college defensive backs we're bringing in, Siobhan Revelle and then also Fletcher Marshall, which we'll talk to here in just a couple minutes. All three of you have 3 years to play.
Yes, sir.
If you would, you know, tell Pirate Nation and anyone else that's listening how they can follow you on social media.
So you can go to my Instagram. You can follow me at beazy05. You go to my Twitter, go to b_easy_ss00. Yeah.
Again, appreciate the time, and I would look forward to catching up with you once you're in Greenville wearing the purple and gold.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Right now, we're joined by Fletcher Marshall. Fletcher, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Fletcher, we appreciate your time this afternoon, or this evening, I should say, just coming on a moment's notice. I'm very excited about you joining this East Carolina signing class for 2022. Just, you know, tell us a little about yourself. Obviously, you're from Florida, and then most recently out at Hutchinson Community College in Kansas.
You said it already. You know, I'm a South Florida kid. You know, I'm from where it's sunny. I took my 2 years from my talents to JUCO. I felt like I could do better. You know, and thank God it worked out and I did become better. You know, I feel like I could help the program. I'm very versatile on the back end. I could play nickel, corner, safety. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy to be here, happy to rep that purple and gold.
So Fletcher, one of the things I've heard about you as I was, you know, doing research and talking to folks in the program, is what you just said is the versatility, the position versatility in the back end. And really, if you look at ECU, it's really a 5 DB. Defense and structure. Would you say your strength is coming up and playing the run, or is it both run and coverage right now? And do you envision yourself, you know, getting bigger and becoming one of those real dominant safeties that, like, you see in NFL now, who can not only cover the deep half and the quarters, but they can also come up and you know, make the running backs pay in the run game?
I can definitely see myself getting bigger and playing that role. I mean, I prefer corner if I stay the way I am, but I just feel like I'm not afraid to come up and make a tackle, but I feel like I'm better off in the coverage point of standpoint. But, you know, I ain't never scared to come make a play. You know, that's why I feel like I could help in that part. You know, it's just mind over matter.
You played at Hutchinson. You know, a lot of kids seem to come out of those Kansas junior colleges. Who else recruited you? I was reading on Hoist Colors, the ECU 24/7 site, that most of your other offers were from FCS. Who else offered you out of Hutchinson?
I'd say most they offered me Presbyterian, Western Illinois, and I had a couple of Division IIs. My recruitment started picking up, though, towards the end. I started getting schools like Akron and Liberty. So right now that's all I had. And then I just didn't want to, you know, ECU had shown me so much love and I just didn't want to wait no more. So I locked in with them. So I didn't see where it could have went, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like you were a bit under-recruited. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I definitely felt that way coming out. You know, it's easy to get discouraged, but, you know, feel me, just focused on God and focused on myself and then it worked out. So,
yeah.
Fletcher, like talk about a relationship. Go ahead, Jason.
Go ahead, Bubba. No, go ahead, Bubba.
No problem. I was going to ask Fletcher about the relationships. We all know it's about relationships in recruiting, and, you know, just talk about the relationships that you were able to build, Fletcher, with Trip Weaver, obviously defensive coordinator Blake Carroll, and Steve Ellis, and all the coaches on the defensive side of the ball, and the ones that would be working with you directly.
The relationships I feel like they're going to be pretty strong in the future. Coach Steve, he came and kept it just real, you know what I'm saying? Like, He ain't sugarcoat nothing. He told me how he wanted to, how he was gonna run things, and you know, I respect that coming from him because you know a lot of coaches like to sweeten a player up and make it sound like it's gonna be a dream come true, and then they're completely different when they get there. So I just felt from that part, he just stayed the same through the recruiting and since I've been here. So and Coach Tripp and the rest of the staff, they just welcomed me with warm welcome, open arms. You know. Made me feel like this is the right fit for me. And like, they told me about the town and the town was great. So I just feel like our connections and bonds gonna be strong here.
So Fletcher, Kyle made a really good point when he was asking about you being under recruited, because that is the word that Pirate Nation is hearing, that we feel like, you know, with you and Brandon coming on today and making that commitment public, that we gained two guys that possibly were overlooked just based on timing and circumstances.
Yeah.
And in your high school, you know, productivity and what people were saying about you from your skills and your ability to play, you're going to fit well at East Carolina, because over the years we've had young men just like yourself join our program that felt a little bit snubbed, and they come and they just become, you know, rock stars in Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. So You're in a good place, and you know, like you said, God's will probably put you in the right spot.
Yeah, that's what I feel like too. You know, I felt like, you know, I didn't get as much love as a lot of these kids out there, and I'm happy that he got it. But I just felt like coming from the place I was at and how hard I worked, that you know, I just stayed down and then made it. And I feel like ECU had recognized that. You know, I feel like they had recognized that, how I was overlooked, and told me, you know, this could be the place for me. You know, they just, like I said, they gave me the opportunity that I needed. So, yeah.
Yep. So much emphasis in this day and age of college football is obviously being placed on recruiting the transfer portal. So, you know, gems like yourself can be discovered in the JUCO ranks and, you know, even more available than they would have been in previous years.
Yeah. I'd say, like, a lot of commotion with the transfer portal, you know, a lot of guys were leaving, and then I felt like I might have been overlooked just due to the fact of when I first came, it was COVID and everything was up in a big roar, and the transfer portal started jumping, so I felt like I might have got skipped up over, you know, but yeah, I can't complain, because I am where I'm supposed to be, so.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point, Bubba, you bring up to Fletcher there. With the transfer portal now, I wonder how it is for affecting junior college recruiting. We should probably have a junior college coach on and talk about that. That's a very interesting point, because, you know, you tend to see in the past that would be, you know, if there was a need to be filled immediately and you didn't want to go the high school route, you needed somebody to play right away, you'd go junior college. And now yeah, there's a transfer portal. So, that probably is part of the reason you were a bit under-recruited, Fletcher.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It's not just me. It's a lot of guys that, yep, you know, who got amazing talent but don't have the offer that represent them. And that's really because of just the stuff that's going on right now. So it's just a matter of, like, you know, people committing to, like, smaller schools when they could have went bigger. But it's just, you know, you can't. I mean, that's how the game is now.
So. And the reason – and with the transfer portal, very quickly, Jason, just we talk about the portal, but it's really, you know, the one-time transfer and not having to sit, and that's the X factor, because, like Kyle said, you used to go to the JUCO ranks because you could bring in a JUCO kid and he'd play right away, whereas another FBS transfer would have to sit out.
To pile on that without going down in a rat hole too far about this while we're meeting with Fletcher, but that trickle down of the extra COVID year plus the transfer portal has not only had an impact on the junior college athletes, it's also made its way down to the high school athletes. There's a couple classes right now who are really struggling to find homes because people are looking for the quick fix, or they're pulling guys in off the portal. So it's something that's, you know, it's changed the scope of college athletics, and NCAA really made it a problem for the coaches when they just all of a sudden said, hey, you have to go back to your scholarship limits, without taking consideration the impact it has across so many different groups.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I sat down with a couple coaches when recruiting was still picking up, and we got the time to sit there and talk about it and why the things are the way it is. You know, like you said, a lot of people just want that quick fix. They don't want a guy to come in, a high school guy to come in and develop. They want that guy who's already, you know, had experience at that level. And it's not the best for the high school kids. And yeah, that's really what it is.
Fletcher, Brandon Higgs, that we just spoke with, another JUCO DB that Pirates just got the commitment from today, was talking about, you know, having played his high school ball in the upstate of South Carolina, how Rajay Harris, who's also from the upstate of South Carolina, and there was an instant connection between the two of them in the recruiting process that helped him pick the Pirates. If you would, you know, talk about any players that you had the opportunity to interact with, and you know, just your thoughts on when you visited East Carolina outside of your interaction with the coaching staff, which we've already touched on, just your thoughts on the campus facilities and so forth.
I'd say what it did it for me was I have a friend who went here named Jordan Huff. We both went to the same JUCO. And, you know, it was good seeing him. You know, I praise all my guys once they leave and head out. He left us in the fall before me. And, you know, when I came on the visit, that's what I had requested, to, like, help me see, show me around and everything. And, you know, he just told me about the program. You know, it's one thing when the coach tries to recruit you, when he tries to tell you something, but when you, like, interact with people like players, you know what I'm saying? Like, people you know going to keep it real and understand. And he just told me, like, the same thing that coach told me, so I know, you know, through him that they're on the same page. And I, when I came here before, like on a visit, I had met a linebacker who committed here. His name is Mike. And, you know, you feel me? We had that connection. I feel like that could be my boy here. So I just, you know, I felt like this could be a great fit because I already got good friendships. I feel like I can build a relationship with some of the players. And so, yeah.
Being a Florida kid, how excited are you going to be for the UCF and South Florida games?
Oh yeah, I'm lit behind those. You know, UCF, we played them home. I can't wait to get back to the crib, and you know, I get to feel that sun again. You know, and just my family get to come see me. You know, it's not a far drive for them. I'm excited to play them schools because coming out of high school, those schools weren't really big on recruiting a lot of Florida kids, and especially in my area. So it'd be good to just, you know, show off a little bit.
So Fletcher, when do you arrive on campus this summer?
I just got here yesterday.
Oh, so you are okay. Good deal. That's great to hear.
Yes, sir.
So you're in Greenville now. All right. Have you tried any Eastern North Carolina barbecue yet?
Nah. I think the club. I came on a visit. I had a good place that I know that I'm probably.
Hello,
Fletcher. Are you still with us?
Oh yeah. Did I cut out?
You did.
Yeah. You cut out. If you would, you know. Say that last thing or two you said.
I said, I haven't got to try too many, but I did get to try a good little spot called Sup Dogs. That's gonna be my spot here. That's a pretty good place.
Yes, yeah, so Sup Dogs is that's just kind of the wins best bar food year after year. But yeah, you need somebody to hook you up with some Eastern North Carolina barbecue. B's Barbecue, Parker, Sam Jones. Any of those places will do to try some authentic Eastern North Carolina barbecue. But yeah, Sup Dogs is legendary.
Yeah.
Fletcher, we'd love to learn a lot about our players that have come on board and, you know, being a part of Pirate Nation, already being in town. Being a South Florida young man, who would you pull for? The Canes, the Noles, the Gators? Who did you pull for?
I pulled for the Gators.
Okay. I was gonna say, if it's the Canes, we've got some big wins that we can send you in YouTube to watch and just enjoy it when Pirate Nation's putting it to them.
Yeah, I still love to see it, but I was really pulling for the Gators.
All right, good deal.
We asked Jesus Christ of Marty if he got us. I'm terrible with names, by the way. We asked our previous guest,
Brandon.
What are some of his interests outside of football? So Fletcher will ask you the same thing. But besides football, what are you into? Video games, music, or what?
I'd like to say I'm into video games and music. You know, other than that, I like to spare time. I used to be a basketball player. You know, I had to pick one. You know, I had to pick one to put all my love into. So, you know, outside of this, I like to be on the game. I'm a big Warzone guy. You know, big Apex. You know, I saw that, and, you know, that's what I like to do outside of this.
Okay.
Fletcher, maybe, you know, favorite movies or outside of video games, you know, what are some other hobbies and things you like to do in your free time? And then also, do you have any idea what you may major in at East Carolina?
I'll just start from back up. I know what I want to major in. I want to be a criminal justice major. You know, I've always felt like I can make a difference in the world, and I feel like that's taking that first step into making a difference in a way that I feel like I could. But other hobbies outside of this, I'd like to say, like, you know, you said it, I can sit down and I can binge watch a whole show. I like, you know, I'm excited for the new Stranger Things coming out. You know, I don't know what the movie theater or anything got here yet, but I'm excited to go see what they got, you know. That's really it. You feel me? I'm a pretty simple guy.
Are you so Fletcher, what if you had to sit down and just be honest with your position coach, whether it's Coach Weaver or Coach Ellis, and they said, Fletcher, what's the one thing that you need to work on the most to refine your game? Do you know what that is right now, and mind sharing it with us?
Yeah, I definitely could tell you. I just can say my eyes. I could feel like my eyes could be a lot better, you know. In the fall, we played a team called Butler, a pretty good team. They gave it to us. You know, I felt like I cost us a pretty big play because my eyes were in the wrong spot, and, you know, I made up for it. But I feel like I can still do a lot of improving on that, and I feel like Coach Ellis can help me do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's just a lot of those reps and those at-bats and practice, you know, and just continuing to refine your craft. So it's good to hear that you have something to work on, because that means that you really understand the game and understand that it's not just going to – you're not going to just show up and you know, become a star. You've got those things that you continue to work on.
Yeah, I'm here to work.
Fletcher, appreciate your time this evening and, you know, you coming on just a moment's notice. And I certainly look forward to having you in the purple and gold and, you know, seeing you on the field this fall.
All right. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thanks, Fletcher.
Nice to meet you.
Well, guys, two quality defensive backs. And one of the things that you touched on, Jason, that you know, I really love is that both of these guys are 6'1".
Yeah, sorry, I was muted. Yeah, and that's something that's the game's changed so much. You've got to have those length guys that can run and cover. And you just look at what Cincinnati was able to do, and you look at how many of those guys were drafted. So it's obvious that Coach Houston came in his first year. I believe it was South Florida and maybe Temple at home, but it was just obvious by looking at their defensive backs and us and then our matchups with the receivers. We just were outmanned. Not that our team wasn't playing hard. We just didn't have quite the skills and the traits and attributes to play in the AAC. And he's really reworked this whole roster.
Yeah, and something else about both those kids that I'll point out, you know, you got height. You can measure that. But what you can't measure is intangibles. And, you know, it's based on one interview. But love both their attitudes. They both seem to be very self-aware. They both seem to have the right attitude, to want to work hard, and it seemed to be good fits historically of kids that are successful at East Carolina.
And that's something you've heard Coach Houston and this staff say, you know, we're not going to just bring someone in to bring someone in, you know. I mean, and obviously when you bring someone in, you of course think they're going to contribute. But what I mean by that is, you know, they're not going to jeopardize the culture they've been building since December of 2018.
And it's something that I think our fans will enjoy hearing this. Somebody reached out to me, not anonymously, but today, and said they talked to one of the coaches after the meeting the other night. And that coach said, you know, we have a AAC looking football team, a really good looking football team. And they meant it not only in the physical attributes, but what Kyle was hitting on and Bubba, also just the way they interact and the way they like each other and want to be there with each other and want to work together with each other. That's going to carry us a long ways this year.
Yeah, you can kind of see that coming off last year's team. You know, we lost, you know, a couple of guys that decided to get to the draft early, but we didn't have a bunch of guys enter the transfer portal. Not that we're going to play anyway, most likely. And so to me, that kind of said a lot about the tightness of the team.
Yeah, no doubt. And While we're here, guys, talking recruiting, Jason really wanted to get your thoughts on Kamaro Edmonds and the transfer running back coming in. Obviously, so much talent already on campus in the running back room, you know, with the likes of Keaton Mitchell, Rajay Harris, who we talked about, with Brandon Higgs, who's from that same area in the upstate of South Carolina, and then obviously also guys like Pop McKay.
Yeah, obviously there's a need there, and you know, we've been fortunate the last 2 years that our guys have stayed relatively healthy, especially at the way we run so much. You know, we really run the ball quite a bit, and I really like the way that we scheme that up. But having that extra dynamic back with tremendous size, and obviously he's very skilled, come in, it just creates a culture in that room that either A, I need to step up my game, or B, we're going to help each other. And that's what, you know, Keaton and Rajay have done. But, you know, you cannot have too many horses in a stable, and we have a stable now. We used to have a shed. Now we've got a stable. So I'm excited. I mean, he had what, 4 carries for 50 some yards in the spring game. I know it was against that school in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
He was playing there, but it's at the same time, you've got to be able to do something to start putting up stats like that. And he had a great high school career. So really excited about having him as an addition to the team.
Yeah. Coming out of high school, what, he was the number 10 running back nationally. I mean, this is a guy that had at least like 5 ACC offers, like at least 4 or 5 SEC offers, including one from the likes of LSU.
Yeah, they don't throw those scholarships around down there like they're cheap popsicles, right? So it's a very talented young man. And again, if you guys have noticed this too, that coaching staff is very strategic in how they make decisions.
Yeah.
So this is calculated for a reason.
And he's a guy, 5'11", 227 pounds, you know, per Hoist of Colors and the information on 24/7 Sports. And I know Steven Igo on Hoist of Colors said that he had the opportunity to see him play at Havelock during high school. And that I think that maybe he had an injury. You know, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, Jason, but I believe he suffered an injury, you know, maybe put on some pounds and didn't have quite the explosiveness as he did, but he's trimmed back down, and he showed that in the spring game, you know, 4 carries for 50 yards.
Yeah, you cannot have too many horses. I get so excited about going to watch the team during the Pirate Walk for an NC State game, and I'm, you know, looking at them going, we've got a true AAC top end caliber team. And if we, you know, if we can have some chips fall our way, this could be one of those years that, you know, Pirate fans talk about for a very long time.
Yeah. Yep. And go ahead, Kyle.
No, I was just going to say, you know, the schedule's not easy. Non-conference, you got NC State preseason potentially top 10. BYU is going to be preseason top 15. Old Dominion coming off a bowl game, plus the conference schedule. So it's a tough schedule, but this is going to be on paper our best football team in a long time. So, I don't know. It should be a lot of fun. Last year was a lot of fun. I think this year will be even more fun.
So Kyle, you brought up something real quick. I don't mean to jump in there, guys, but Kyle, you mentioned the BYU game. I'm not a betting man, but would you guys like to put a wager on if they do the return trip in 3 or 4, 3 years from now back to Greenville?
You know, that's a good question. With them going into the Big 12, going to be some non-conference scheduling difficulties. They got to play Utah. They typically like to play Utah State. So that's a good question. I don't know. You would like to think they would. I don't know how many, you know, other East Coast trips they have lined up. But you know, things are about to change for BYU big time, going from an independent to the Big 12. So no, my guess is they probably won't. Are we addressing that now? Would be the question. I hope so. We need to find out sooner rather than later. Obviously, they're, you know, not going to show their hand until we go out there. Though it's too late to change plans now anyway. But I hope Gilbert is being aggressive about finding that out. And if they're not, we need to find a suitable replacement besides some damn FCS team.
Right. And I tell you what, if we go out there and take care of business at their place this year, I bet you a lot of money they don't come back.
That'll be fine. That'll be fine. Look, if we can get the dub, that'll be fine. They can stay out in Provo.
Amen. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's something, guys, and that very topic is something that was touched on by John Gilbert at the Pirate Armada in Charlotte earlier, or I guess the middle of last week when I was there, and he said that obviously we're going out there this year, that I think they were scheduled to come back, was it 24, and then they bumped it back to 25, but whatever it was, whether it was 23 to 24 or 24 to 25, they bumped the game back a year, which was not surprising with everything going on with the move to the Big 12.
Yeah, and I knew about that, that they had bumped it back a year, but the key is will they keep that commitment?
Right, of course.
Did Gilbert say anything about non-conference schedules? Because anytime I've ever asked Gilbert about non-conference schedule, and all I ever hear is, we're pretty full for 2028. Well, are we going to play football after 2028, or are we going to drop the program?
All he said, Kyle, was that we're pretty full through 2028 or 2029, and then he named off the
Did you throw something at him?
He named off the opponents that we have on the upcoming schedule.
Well, thanks for telling us shit we already know.
But Bubba had already eaten all his corn sticks, so he had nothing to throw at him, Kyle.
I mean, I see teams scheduling for, 2030, 2031. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, what are we doing? I mean, I don't understand it. We need to get on the horn with some ACC schools. We need to prolong that series with App State. That needs to be an ongoing thing. I'd love to play Coastal. I think Coastal's established themselves as a good program over the last several years. To me, it makes perfect sense. I know why we don't play them in baseball. We found that out. But I don't think that's the same issue in football. Let's get Coastal a home and home. I mean, that's an easy non-conference game that's not going to take any trouble to schedule. You got James Madison moving up. Well, let's play those guys. Liberty's established a program. I'm not even talking about Power 5 schools. These are schools that would be licking their chops to play East Carolina. I mean, I just don't know what we're doing with scheduling beyond 28. It seems like you'd want to start working on that now. It is 2022. It ain't 2019 anymore.
Yeah, you got some points there. A lot of regional teams have made that jump over the last 10 or 15 years that would help put, Pirate Nation would actually, there was a time when I was taking high school teams down to Coastal Carolina when they just first started. And if you'd have told me back then that they'd be a preseason top 25 football team, yeah, I would have said, yeah, I want to buy a hotel where that beach is in the middle of Oklahoma.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I don't think anybody could have seen that coming, that what they've done with their program. Jamie Chadwell has done a heck of a job. He's got a system he runs. He has the quarterback to run it. And, I'm kind of surprised he hasn't got an opportunity. I guess people don't want that unique option type offense at the so-called Power 5 level. But you would think eventually, and I'm not rooting for Chadwell to leave Coastal, but you would think somebody's going to give him an opportunity to get a pay raise.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, guys, very quickly before we shift gears and mention another couple college football topics outside of East Carolina, just college football at large. I know Kyle brought this up on Extra Innings last night. The line came out, and, obviously, we're still here 3+ months before the game is played, so who knows what may happen between now and then as far as injuries and so forth. But Pirates open as a 8-point dog against the Wolfpack, who will probably be in the top 10. So what were your thoughts on that, Jason?
I was thinking it was going to be closer to like, and I know it's not that many, not much difference, but the way Vegas works, I thought it was going to be more of a 9-10 type spread. I feel like the fact that it is in Greenville, it is the first game, with the natural rivalry that's there, that the odds makers are trying to keep things close to the vest right now. And I also think those people in the industry who really understand college football and paid attention to what we started doing last year and the momentum we had heading into that Military Bowl, they get it. We could be a really dangerous football team. We just got – things have just changed. Guys, 7 years ago, I was at wit's end with this whole place. of the program. And now it's just, I cannot wait till September 3rd. And that's a change.
Yeah, no, it has changed dramatically. And I think last year was a big step forward, obviously. And, you know, I can guarantee you one thing. I'd be shocked if NC State came in here and just walked the dog on us like the last couple times we played them. You know, I don't know if we'll pull off the, you know, and I hope Pirate fans keep this in mind, because it gets so, you know, it is NC State, so we naturally expect to win, but it's still going to be a preseason, potentially top 10 team. So if we go in there and lose by a touchdown, you know, it's going to suck because it's NC State, and I'm not planning on losing, but I'm just saying if we do, get ready, keep your heads up. And me and Bubba discussed this the other day. I think it was off the air. Old Dominion being the second game, I hate that, because if you upset NC State week one, will you be focused for a good Old Dominion team that's coming off of a bowl game? Then if you lose to NC State week one and it's a close loss, will you be focused for Old Dominion? I guess the one thing that I do like about it is I think Old Dominion opens up with Virginia at home the same week we're playing NC State. So they're probably going to be going through similar emotions.
Yeah, I agree. And it is, it does feel like a trap door, right? You're danged if you do, danged if you don't. But I did do a little CIA spy action today and strolled over to the school in Raleigh's message boards, because the line came out and I was wondering what they're saying. And it was actually really complimentary. And it shows you how people are paying attention, because those fans were, you know, they think they're going to win, but they're like, hey guys, this is a different beast than what we saw, you know, those two games in Raleigh in back-to-back years.
Yeah, and NC State fans that have been around in our series, and probably the ones that are talking football in May, they know. And, you know, if I was NC State, and, you know, knowing what I know about the history of East Carolina, and we tend to beat them, you know, when they're supposed to beat us, and vice versa. Preseason top 10, supposed to be their best team since the Phillip Rivers, Chuck Amato years. Open it up with East Carolina when the Pirates are, you know, going to be at home, and we're going to have our best team in quite a few years. I'd be a little nervous, because God almighty, you talk about ruining a season from game one. If we were to beat NC State game one, you know, they could still recover and win their division of the ACC, but you know, that could send their whole damn season in a tailspin. So I'm sure they're a little nervous.
Well, we saw it last year, right? On that Friday night after our game in Charlotte, when the top 10 Heisman Trophy candidate and all that stuff walked into Blacksburg and took one on the chin. You know, it's like Mike Tyson said, everybody's good until they get punched.
Yep, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth.
That's it.
And remember, guys, and directly out of Dave Doran's mouth is that those two defeats to East Carolina, the one in 2013 against Ruffin McNeil in Raleigh, and then the one in 2016, that those two days were the two worst days of his life.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if he loses in 22 preseason top 10, those two days will look like Christmas. You bring up Ruffin McNeil. That's an interesting factor. Ruffin McNeil's going to be on the sideline for the Wolfpack. You know, I don't like that, not only because I don't like seeing him on the sideline for the Wolfpack and Dowdy Figlin. I also don't like it from the standpoint, just there. This is going to be, and I know they had Dwayne Ledford, but we, you know, that was a different situation anyway. They didn't need Ledford to convince them that who we are, because we sucked. But Ruffin is going to be able to have them understand, or try to make them understand, the mentality that we're going to go into that game with playing them. And that scares me a little bit, that he's going to be able to give them that insight, if you guys understand what I'm saying.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, I'd rather have him on our sideline, that's for sure. That would be a lot more fitting, right, like you said.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Or just not on their sideline. Yeah,
sitting up in section 5 with us or something.
Yeah. Or back, or in I know he's here for his dad, but you know, maybe he'd like Los Angeles.
Now, guys, here recently there have really been a few topics that have been dominating the college football world during the off season. But before we get to those, you know, here on the Sports Objective, we're really appreciative of the sponsorship and, you know, support that we have with Next Level Training Center. So right now, before we discuss those things, a quick word about Next Level Training Center.
For more than a decade, Next Level Training Center, located at 1750 Wimbledon Drive in Greenville, has been Eastern North Carolina's premier baseball and softball training facility. With over 30,000 square feet of space, members can get infield work, pitching, and catching work, improve their strength, speed, and agility, and take live swings in one of the many full-size cages. You will receive top-level instruction from Next Level Training Center's first-class staff, featuring owner Trent Britt and a variety of former college and professional players, all while enjoying some of the best facilities in the state. Economical options, customer-friendly hours, and a staff that prides itself on serving. Visit nextleveltc.com or call 252-756-NEXT. Again, that's 252-756-NEXT.
Thank you to Dave Lamont for those words about nextleveltrainingcenter.com. I appreciate their support of the program. But guys, by this time, it's old news, but this is the first time we've had a show that wasn't, you know, focused on baseball. So I wanted to get your thoughts on everything, you know, concerning Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, what went down last week with those gentlemen, you know, exchanging pleasantries, you know, via the media.
Got two millionaire crooks fighting amongst themselves because one out-crooked the other illegally by the NCAA. That was my – if I was Jimbo, that would have been my response. Hell, yeah, we paid every one of them because we can do that now. They all got NIL deals. Get your donors to do better, Saban. I don't – look, they if they got in a fight, I'd root for a terrorist attack. I don't – they screw them both. I don't have use for either one of them.
Yeah, I tell you what, Coach Saban seems to be super calculated, and everybody knows that, right? Captain Obvious here. He had an intention, and he made that intention. You know, he put it on display, and when that happened, you saw the reaction of Jimbo. And Jimbo evidently had another rant session today. And so, you know, Coach Saban's trying to there's something going on. And, you know, not only that, the whole conversation today, Bubba and Kyle, about the SEC commissioners coming on and saying, hey, we're actually considering having our own SEC only playoff and national champion.
Yeah, well, I saw that coming. That's what I've been saying. There's going to be three Division One. There's going to be three levels of Division One, and I think what's going to end up happening is you're going to have the SEC, and then I think you're going to have the top tier of the Big Ten and the top tier of the ACC, and a couple of schools from the Pac-12, and that's going to be your NFL, you know, if you will, of college football. That's what I think. I don't think it's going to be SEC only. But I think you're going to have about a 40-team highest level of college football. Then there's going to be the level that we'll be playing at, then the FCS level. And the good thing about that is I think there's going to be some Power Fives, you know, obviously, that'll be playing along with us. So if that happens, I welcome it. I embrace it. You go play. You know, there already is an NFL. And if they do that, what they are doing, if Alabama – and I'm not going to use it because I don't think it'll be SEC only, but if Alabama, Michigan, Oklahoma, USC, if 40 schools, for example, are doing their own thing, I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to watch what East Carolina's playing at and whoever else is with us. So what they're going to be doing is making their audience smaller. The NFL formula does not work for college football. I think they're going to be making a huge mistake, but I do think it's coming.
Now, along those lines, obviously the issue with the NIL, or, you know, that was causing that was the NIL, I should say. So Jason, as a former high school coach of what, 15 to 20 years at least, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Obviously, you still have a lot of coaches in the high school ranks and probably as college coaches as well. So, you know, what are your thoughts on the NIL and, you know, where this thing's headed?
Well, the problem is there's no way to regulate it. And because of that, because of the antitrust issues and you know, the courts, they really gave the NCAA early warning, and NCAA, and from my understanding, is they sat on their hands and didn't take action and start putting processes and procedure and policies in place. As Kyle said, we either have to adapt or just be miserable, because it's not going away anytime soon. And I feel like that it's created the Wild Wild West. Not that it wasn't already a Wild Wild West, just now it's out there in front of everybody and it's legal. And how do you have an NIL deal with a young man and he says, I'm not really excited about the position coach or amount of time I'm getting to play, and now I'm gonna leave Texas, I'm gonna go to University of North Texas and play. So what happens now to that company who's given that young man money? Are they going to give it back? No, they're not going to. There's no way to regulate it. So there's bigger problems coming down the road from this. And, you know, I still think that's part of what Coach Saban was trying to get out there in front of everybody. Like, hey, this is out of control, even though he's a big part of it. I think he recognizes, like, you know, he's like the Don Corleone saying, okay, we might have problems with other families in the neighborhood right now, and it's just going to get worse.
No, he's just mad because he can see he ain't going to be the big bad booty daddy getting all the top recruits anymore, and they're going to start going to Texas A&M and USC because they got more money than Alabama, and right. We got richer donors, and that's what's pissing him off. But believe me, if he was getting all the players he wanted, if they weren't going to Jimbo and they weren't going to Lincoln, he wouldn't be saying a word. He's because it's not benefiting him as much as he thought he was. Now he's got a problem with it. If it was benefiting Saban in Alabama, he wouldn't be saying boo.
Yeah, wouldn't you guys love to have the problem that we came in second in the nation in recruiting as opposed to first?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And they'll probably fall from second to third to fourth to fifth. Alabama's got a lot of money, but they don't, you know, it's still Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and it's still the state of Alabama. There's more money in Texas and California than there is Alabama, and he knows it.
Yep. I agree.
And one of the crazy things, I mean, just the dynamics that this could create in the locker room. You have a guy like Hendon Hooker who played so well for Tennessee last year. You know, I do not know what Hendon Hooker's making, but I do know that it's nowhere near $8 million that they've, you know, offered this high school quarterback. I believe it's out of California.
$8 million Tennessee has offered a high school quarterback?
Yeah. Meanwhile, they have a proven quarterback on campus in Hendon Hooker.
You can't continue like this. The East Carolina, hell, not even East Carolina, NC State. There's going to be a separation. It's going to happen. It can't continue like this. You can't. There's no way. If they allow that to continue, there will be a NFL of college football. And like I said, it's probably going to be 30 to 40 teams, if that many.
And I'm trying to remember if it was that young man that was the quarterback or if it was this was some other high-profile receiver. But this is something else that's very interesting. You know, Shane Matthews, former Florida quarterback from the early 90s, was talking about this. And just how that quarterback or receiver, whichever it was, whatever he was going to be making, according to the reports, that it was more than the majority of the guys at that position in the NFL.
The receiver for Pitt that just went to USC.
Yes, I believe it was that young man that won the Biletnikoff Award and now it's going to USC.
Yes, $3.5 million. And here's the thing. I was just, you know, you got a kid at $8 million? You're going to have kids now that are going to be multimillionaires by the time they're done with college. You might not even want to go play in the NFL. Yeah, screw it. I'm done with football. I'm going to go sit on my ass on the beach now, invest my money. I mean, this it's going to – like I'm telling you, this is going to be nuts. And then I'll say it before and I'll say it again. There will be three divisions of there will be three levels of Division I college football by the year 2030. I'd be willing to put a lot of money on it.
Yeah, it's definitely trending that way, right, Kyle? I mean, the writing's on the wall, and if you can't see, you know, if you're not able to recognize it, that's an individual problem.
Yeah,
we've got to step up. I mean, or I guess we can only step up so much because
we can't. I mean, we need to step up and compete. You know, where we can compete, but
right.
Like I said, I don't even think NC State, just use a regional school. You know, Kansas State, we use somebody like that. Iowa State. I mean, what are they going to do? They can't compete in that kind of environment. I mean, it's like I said. There will be, I truly believe, three levels of Division I college football, and you know, I'm getting repetitive now, but it's pretty obvious.
Hey, and the good news is for that young man is making $8 million even after taxes. That's still about a $4.2 million kitty in his bank account. So good for him.
Yeah, you can't blame the kids for sure. But
and what if he's the utter shits when he gets to Tennessee? I mean, sometimes it doesn't transfer. Sometimes you're an excellent high school quarterback, and you suck when you get to the collegiate level. I mean, and now you just threw $8 million away on nothing.
And then the people that are you know putting forth that $6, $7, $8 million for these guys, and they're not seeing the field, that creates a whole nother dynamic, you know, where the coaching staff is feeling pressure to play a guy that shouldn't be playing.
No, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I've always said, Bubba, you know, repeatedly on this podcast, I go after coaches and ADs. I never talk trash about players, you know, but when you got players making money like that, oh, you damn right I'm going to go after them. If you're making $8 million a year and you suck, I'm going to say you suck. I made this statement a long time ago several times on this podcast when this was in the talks. You're being asked to be treated like an employee, so don't be surprised when you get treated like an employee.
Yep, correct.
No doubt. It'll be very interesting to see where all this goes in the coming months and years, but certainly the cat's out of the bag, toothpaste out of the tube. We've heard all the analogies, but you know, who knows where this will go. But before we get out of here, quick word, you know, hey, make sure you're joining the Pirate Club and ordering those season tickets, Pirate Nation. To join the Pirate Club, go to ecupirateclub.com or call 252-737-4540 to make your donation today. No donation is too small, and we need everyone on board and to get those Pirate Club numbers up back where they've been in the past and beyond. And then season tickets, call 1-800-ECU or go online to ecupirates.com to get your East Carolina football season tickets today. You know, as of last Wednesday, we were just over 13,000. Last year, per John Gilbert, we were a little over 13,500. So we're very close to eclipsing the 2021 mark. And let's not, you know, settle for 15,000. Let's go ahead and blow that goal out of the water and get up there in the 17,000-18,000 range or beyond.
Yeah, I think you're kind of in a flood period right now. If you're going to get your season tickets by priority deadline, you already got them. And the next, I think, pickup will be in the summertime, July and August, where we'll have that next surge of season tickets. And yeah, it'd be nice to see us get to at least 15,000 to 16,000. I like your goal, Bubba, that you said 18K. I think we should be aggressively, you know, I said it before. I think we should be aggressively trying to say, let's sell the most season tickets in the American. Let's sell the most season tickets in the state. That should be our verbal campaign that we should have out there.
Yeah. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right?
Absolutely.
In sales organizations, you know, I work in IT sales now, and you put a small target in front of a rep, they're going to hit the small target. Just the way it is, human nature.
Yep. No doubt, you know, shoot for the moon, and then, obviously lean among the stars if you don't reach it. So, you know, with that, you know, we'll wrap up the show. Be sure to follow us on social media, on Twitter and TikTok at TheSportsOBJ, on Instagram at The Sports Objective. Like and follow us on Facebook. Also, join the Pirates Cove on Facebook, where we talk East Carolina athletics as well as just college athletics and other things as a whole pertaining to East Carolina University. And then also be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. But for Kyle Barber and guest co-host Jason Tindall, I'm Buck Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to The Sports Objective. Have a great one, everybody. And as always, go Pirates. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't